3% withholding rule for contractors is close to being repealed. The Senate's passed its repeal. The House is looking at it, too, and the president's likely to sign it. Trey Hodgkins is the Senior Vice President for Procurement Policy at Tech America, here to talk about the good news behind the repeal of the 3% rule. Trey, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This really is good news, isn't it? You and I were talking before we went on the air about what 3% really means in the context of a company that's doing business and trying to drive revenue.
Absolutely. You know, it's 3% of their cash flow because it's 3% of their invoices. And it can be a significant number for a company if you're looking at a 5 or 7% margin in the public sector. A $100 million contract is $3 million.
Are there companies out there that are running that tight, maybe because of budget situations at the agencies or the economy overall or whatever, that this might make the difference between staying in business and not staying in business?
Well, we think that the probability increases as you go down in size significantly, but when you look at the research and the information you get about public sector and DOD profits, it's usually in the somewhere between this 4 and 6% range.
I would imagine that that's the case just because if I'm, say, a sub on a deal and my subcontract is for $500,000, I mean, it's a small part of a much bigger deal, and I'm maybe a sole proprietor or I got only two or three employees, a real small business, that gets passed, that 3% would get passed down the line, wouldn't it, from the prime to the subs, and so I imagine there's a whole bunch of subs out there that are really happy about this.
Well, the subs were going to see it, perhaps not directly, but more probably indirectly. It would impact the relationships and how the pricing they would be able to offer to a large prime as a sub. It was also going to be impactful if a small business was trying to do, either as a sub or as, even more importantly, acting as a prime. 3% of the cash flow on a small business acting as a prime is probably making the contract prohibitive. They're no longer able to work in the public sector.
Mm-hmm. And again, when we're talking about the economy the way it is right now for companies in that spot, that's a big difference because going out finding work in the private sector is certainly not too easy right now.
No, it's not, but it certainly would have impacted those companies trying to play in that space.
What do you attribute this to? Because right now, as we all know, the idea that everybody in Washington would agree on something is almost unheard of, and yet we have a Democratic Senate passing this overwhelmingly. It's expected to go through the House just about as quickly and as easily as it did the Senate. That's controlled by the Republicans. President Obama, the White House has already indicated that he'll sign it and get rid of this altogether. What's making this so easy to go through, and I guess I wonder why it was signed into law in the first place. What was it, 2008, I think?
2005 was the year on the Budget Act, so it was supposed to become effective this year, and we've delayed it. I think one reason that, I think a big reason why it was repealed is because the actual numbers, particularly at the agencies, what they were looking at to have to implement and modify this, even for an agency like IRS, this was a relatively new type of withholding and collection. It's different from payroll. It's collected at a different point in the process. So it was a significant expenditure that all the agencies were looking at. We had a report from Defense a few years back when they were asked. They estimated it was going to cost them $15 billion to implement this in the first 5 years. So I think that the common sense approach to repeal finally prevailed when you looked at the cost it was going to incur on the government. In the significant amounts, certainly in the tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions, once you extrapolate this across states and localities who also had to incur the cost and collect the fees, then there was no benefit. We were looking at several hundred million dollars in potential new revenue that would be staying in the Treasury at the end of the day, and it just didn't make any sense.
Now, the statement that Tech America put out when the Senate passed this the end of last week says, "We commend the Senate for adding a key provision that will encourage businesses to hire the men and women who've served in our nation's armed services." What's that all about? Because that's not something I've read a lot about in the coverage. The coverage seems to be focused on the 3%.
You're correct, and this was a provision that's been reported pretty widely as a new veteran job incentive program where companies would get a tax credit when they hire a veteran. And so that was added into the bill in the Senate. It did not impact the 3% repeal in any way, and that's why I don't see any problems passing this in the House. It's a widely accepted, lauded proposal that's being simply using 3% as a vehicle.
Is this something that you think now is gone for good, or is this something that you maybe in the back of your mind fear somebody could dredge up at some point in the future?
Well, the tax gap is something that'll probably persist in some form or another, but companies that have been trying to repeal this are the first to stand up and say that we don't want companies that don't comply with the tax obligations competing in the public sector, because that means there's an uneven playing field. We always thought that if companies have tax obligations, they need to meet those obligations. And we've, you know, in fact, industry has supported, and we have already implemented enhanced mechanisms, certifications at the time of award, other reporting mechanisms that companies have to provide to the federal government to demonstrate they're compliant with their tax obligations before they can receive and then keep an award. We supported those things. So whether or not this comes back, I don't know, but the underlying reason or the proponent's basis for offering this in the first place was to try and narrow the tax gap, and that probably isn't going to go away.
Trey, I appreciate you coming on this afternoon to talk about this and help me understand it better. Thanks for your time.